The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 4, Scene 22. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
Susie Hobbinstock.
And Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And we're going to talk about The Taming of the Shrew, Shakespeare's classic, which is being presented by Quill Theatre at Agecroft Hall through August 4th. I don't think we really need to go in the plot. I think pretty much everybody knows the plot. I'll start with the fact that this was an all-female production, not only the cast, but the director and the crew. So, ladies first.
I thought it was the second kind of lackluster production of the Shakespeare Festival. The fact of an all-female cast, while interesting, didn't really illuminate anything for me.
I agree with that.
I disagree with that. First of all, I thought that the ensemble was quite talented, and I enjoyed watching a subversion of the Shakespearean convention with all men playing these characters. What we got as a result of that was women making fun of men in their portrayal of these characters, and some pathos. So I thought that the fact that it was all women was timely. Michelle Greensmith, who played Katerina, was the only person who remained serious the entire time. And she was a dramatic character in a comedic play who I think gave us a more realistic portrayal of what an abused woman feels like, looks like, experiences at the hands of an abuser.
I agree with a lot of what you said. Uh-huh. I thought it was a really, really interesting production. First of all, you know, everybody talks about, oh, it's such a misogynistic play. But then when you look at Katerina, I mean, the chick had problems.
She was a bitch.
She was horrible, and something needed to be done. So.
Right, but does she deserve to be starved, deprived, gaslit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that part of what this production did was show that it kind of doesn't matter if she's a bitch. That was abuse. And I liked the way that it ended on that sort of serious note. And I liked the songs that they included and sort of shifted the meaning of over the course of the play.
I agree. I thought especially the song at the end was very powerful. I thought the other songs were fun, but the show was already 2 hours and 40 minutes. I think that's one place they could have just said, okay, let's lose some of those songs.
There were a lot of songs because they were at the beginning, they were on
both
act,
acts,
and then
they were
at the end too. And I think, Claire, you and I kind of agreed on this. It was a very, very strong ensemble.
Oh, absolutely.
And they seemed to be getting such a kick out of doing this show that I thought that that was a bit contagious, that kind of spilled over into the audience. Bianca Bryan and Melissa Johnson Price, the way they portrayed men, because they found like their inner man without playing the butch character.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really great. And the other character that I really loved was Maggie Babalat as Grimio, comedic elderly suitor. Mm-hmm. It was hysterical. So I enjoyed those parts.
I wanted to call out Desiree Dabney too. I thought she was fun. She had a couple of little asides, kind of street asides, that were kind of fun. I just want to jump back into Chelsea Burke because I really thought this was her show. I thought she did so much with creatively staging it, and she was so inventive in the use of the space, which is basically just an empty stage with one little platform on it. I really think she was the strongest thing about the show. I thought the cast was solid.
It did not work that well for me. I did see, you know, the amusing Phillips in the first act, but by the second act, I was a little tired of them. I was very much struck by two actors new to town. First, Michelle Greensmith, whom Claire mentioned.
She played
Katerina. Katerina.
Right.
Whether this was her performance or how she was directed, it was very much at the top level of anger almost all the time. It dipped down into a little more humanity at one point, but then right back up to that anger. I'd like to see more. And I was also very struck by Emily Berry as Grumio, a comic character. She's new to town, and I would definitely like to see more.
I really enjoyed Emily Berry as well. And I also, Nora Ogunleye, who played Lucentio, she was very sweet and I think provided sort of a counterpoint to Petruchio's wooing methods until the very end, at which point we watched this character go from being the sweet wooer to extremely furious with Bianca after losing some money in a bet.
I just want to jump in real quickly and talk about Cora Delbridge's costumes. It looked like girls playing dress-up in a potpourri of men's thrift store clothes. They were all in kind of loose-fitting, mismatched stuff, and I'm sure there was a reason behind that, but it made that whole thing of women playing men look even a little bit more silly.
I noted that, too. It was a real hodgepodge. I thought that Melissa Johnson Price's kind of maxi coat, like that shaft coat, I thought that one seemed appropriate, and it kind of like went with her character. Right. But a lot of the costuming, especially Christina Ramsey's as Bianca, it just didn't seem appropriate to the character. It was all kind of frilly and silly, and it wasn't on the same level as the sister. Mm-hmm. And then Katerina, Michelle Greensmith's costumes, some of them were really nice.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
You know, even that kind of like power outfit she wore with the red at the beginning.
Yeah, I really liked that outfit.
Yeah, that was the best thing. Okay, so what I'm hearing is we have a wide range of opinions here, from loved it to meh. Susie, you were meh.
Yep. I loved it.
And I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. I guess that means we have to leave it up to the audience if they want to go out to Agecroft and see Taming of the Shrew, which is a Quill Theater production at Agecroft Hall through August 4th. Jolinda and I are going to talk about the remounting of Animal Control, which was originally presented at Firehouse as a world premiere in April, and they have remounted it, and it'll be playing through August 27th at Firehouse. They did make two changes to the casting and reworked the writing a little bit, and I think it was a much stronger show.
I think it was tighter, although I had a difficult time trying to figure out exactly what changes might have been made in the script.
The plot is basically an unfortunate incident at a dog park results in a confrontation at the animal shelter. I thought this was a stronger production. I don't know exactly what was cut. I did see some things moved around a little bit.
I think that one of the things is that the character of Kim Hawkins, who's played by the very versatile Donna Marie Miller,
who's the manager of the
dog pound, the animal shelter, seems to have been made into a more well-rounded person.
I agree with that.
Doesn't seem to be so incompetent, but there's a focus on why she's having difficulty in this transition.
Right, right. And I said it last time, and I think it's even more apparent this time. She opens each act with a conversation with her assistant, played by Journey Ensminger. And I just really felt those scenes went on way too long. They did not add any value to the whole show. The assistant's character never changed that much, so it didn't really add anything. It was kind of a sounding board for the manager to talk about her frustration. Of course, the biggest changes in this show, besides reworking some of the script and moving things around, Eric Cullen, who is about 6'4", played the scary owner of the evil dog, we'll just call it. And in this production, Stevie Rice, who is 5'11", probably, and very different looking type person, played that character. What they did was interesting. They put a Confederate flag on his hat and on the back of him to kind of give him more of a redneck feel. And in the original production, the neighbor was Lucretia Marie Anderson, was replaced in this production by Margaret Joyner, and she wore dashikis in both scenes, which I think was kind of trying to set up that racial division there, which was an interesting concept, but it never went anywhere. There was never any racial slurs. There was never any racial tension. So I don't know that that really added any value.
Yeah, and I don't think that that had been a part of the script. So visually, they set up that tension, but nothing was ever said about it.
Right,
although
right.
I do have to say that I actually thought that Margaret Joyner brought some new power and tension to the
Absolutely,
role that had not
did.
Been there before.
Yeah, yeah, and a little bit of humor, which was nice.
Yeah.
Too. And I should back up because we didn't really talk about Stevie Rice. He did a wonderful job. He was a very menacing redneck, and his final scenes were very touching. I was close to tears, and that doesn't happen often in the
and
theater.
And it's kind of an amazing transformation to go from being this menacing redneck to sympathetic character who is actually being comforted by a young black woman
who comes over and strokes
his hair.
Yeah, yeah. It was an interesting production. I think it's a stronger production. I thought it was very effective and very compelling. And if anyone gets a chance to see this world premiere in its remounting, I would suggest go see it.
The second world premiere.
There you go. Yeah. And we have been talking about Animal Control, which is at Firehouse Theater through July 27th. Once again, the intrepid duo, Jolinda and Jerry, went to the children's show at Virginia Reps Children's Theater to see Polka Dots, the Cool Kids musical, which is playing there through August 11th.
Even though this is a musical, it's based on a very serious subject about the Little Rocks Nine of the nine kids in Arkansas who were the first to integrate a formerly all-white high school. And they have turned this into a very amusing comedic musical.
I wouldn't say too comedic, but the basic story just real quickly is everybody in the school has squares all over their bodies.
And their last name is Square.
And their last name is Square. And suddenly this young girl comes in who is a polka dot, and she has circles all over herself. And there's all kind of controversy. Most people do not like her. One person does. It's not a thinly veiled allegory about race relations. It's pretty obvious. I mean, there's a water fountain for the polka dots and a water fountain for the squares. I question how well that kind of message goes over with with young children?
That was my question as well. The audience is basically maybe 4 to 10 years old, right, and I'm not sure how much of it they understood. I think that they liked the singing and the dancing.
Right,
it's very colorful. It moves along rapidly.
Yeah,
I think the
yeah.
direction by Jan Guarino is done very well. But as far as how much the children really understood about what was being said about segregation
right.
and racism and, you know, and not everyone not being equal, I'm not quite sure if that message was clear.
I will have to say one thing that really surprised me. The very last song, when it's a song about everybody's okay, and they talk about whether you're thin or bald or whatever, one of the lines is whether you're gay or straight. And I thought, wow, I have never seen a children's show before where being gay is addressed in any way, obviously in a positive way here, but I thought that was kind of cool that we've gotten to that point in our world that you can say that to children and nobody jumped and ran out of the theater.
And Jerry, of course you would notice that, but...
You didn't notice it?
I did. Not only did I notice it, but I went on Friday evening and the audience actually applauded that line.
Wow, wow, terrific. This is still an interesting show. I think children would be entertained whether they get the message or not. So we have been talking about Polka Dots,
the Cool Kids Musical,
which is playing at Virginia Reps Children's Theater at Willow Lawn through August 11th. That's it with three reviews crammed into this curtain call. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more reviews and an interview with an actor from India. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
Susie Hobbinstock.
And Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRAR, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artseast.org